appreciate the opportunity to be here. I've enjoyed the time being at the Baptist Friends meeting as last year. And I want to thank this church, and you're a great encouragement. I want to thank you for the place to stay and for all the food, the encouragement, the fellowship. I really appreciate all the meals that have been provided, and I consider the Turners really good friends, and that's growing as the years go on. And we're thankful that we can encourage each other. And the only really sad thing about our friendship is we live so far away. And we wish we could be closer together, but at least once a year we get that opportunity. If you take God's word with me and go back to the text we read for our scripture reading in Mark chapter 4, I want us to notice two phrases in this verse 35. And in verse 1 of chapter 5. So, Mark chapter 4, and notice verse 35. The Bible says, "And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now notice Mark chapter 5, in verse 1. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea." In Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And then in chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 1 that they passed over unto the other side. You see, it was God's will for Jesus and his disciples to pass over unto the other side. And so he told them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And everything God says will happen is going to happen just as God says. Now, I want to be an encouragement to you today. Many times we go through discouraging times, and we can all agree there's no need to go into all the details, but we live in dark days. And we live in times that are discouraging, times that can be trying, times that can help us really trust in the Lord and have patience, as we learned last evening. But God is at work. And we need to understand that God's will was for them to pass over unto the other side. But I want you to see something in Mark 4 and verse 35. He says, "unto the other side." You see, God has a different perspective of everything we go through than the things that we think we're going through. We may think we're going through something very tough. God may allow something tough so that we can see the other side of it. That we could see something different, have a different perspective. And so many times in my own life, I need the grace of God to help me see that I need to see the way God wants me to see instead of my negative, my perspective that is not biblical. Notice what the Bible says in verse Mark 4 and verse 35. It says, "In the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now notice verse 36. "When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." Now, this is the story of the storm at the sea with the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ tells his disciples a simple command. He says, "Get in the boat, we're going to the other side. Let us, all together, me and you, pass over unto the other side." So they all get in the boat, and when they get out in the sea, now remember this, God knows all things. Jesus was not only man, he was 100% God as well. And so he knew exactly that the storm would come. He knew exactly that they would be overwhelmed. He knew exactly what they would say before they said it while he was asleep. And yet the Bible says here, there were with them also other little ships. So there was not only the ship that Jesus and his disciples were in that went through the storm, there were other little ships. And I find that very interesting, that when we go through the storms of life, we understand that it's not just us going through it. God has other little ships as well that are observing what we do in the midst of the storm. Now notice what he says in verse 37. "And there arose a great storm of wind." Now that's from the disciples' perspective. They didn't know it was going to arise. Jesus knew it was going to arise. But they get out on the sea, everything's going well, and then a storm arises. Notice the Bible says there was wind. "And the waves beat into the ship." So the water is now filling up the boat. They feel overwhelmed. They don't know that they're going to sink. They're either going to sink or they're going to be saved somehow from this storm. And they don't know how that's going to happen. And they're afraid for their lives. "And the ship was now full." In verse 37, at the end of the verse, it says, it was now full. Notice verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, So Jesus is down in the midst of the ship, and here's something very interesting. He was asleep on a pillow. Now, if we look through the eyes of flesh, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll understand something, and we'll think, what is God doing here? Excuse me for asking that question, but if we're living by the flesh instead of by faith, we'll think, why is Jesus asleep? This is the time that the disciples need him the most. I mean, he said to them in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, follow me. He told them to follow me, and now they left all. Peter said earlier, he said, we've forsaken all and followed you. They had forsaken much to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he guides them into a ship. He knows there's going to be a storm, and he goes and falls asleep. This could be very discouraging if we look through the eyes of flesh. And then he says, verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. These are the disciples. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Remember this. It doesn't matter how big the storm is. It doesn't matter how much water is in the boat. If Jesus is God, he can still stay asleep. And these disciples are waking him. And he's in a deep sleep. He wakes up. And they say this, much like I would say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever asked Jesus that question? You really care? Now, I know what the Bible says. I know what you've told me. I know you told me to follow you. I know you told me to be one of your disciples, and I trusted you years ago as my personal Savior. I've repented of my sins and come to know Christ as my Savior. But Lord, do you really care? Do you really care if I perish? Verse 39, and he arose. I think that's interesting. The disciples, in their flesh, in their failures, in their own faults, not seeing through the eyes of faith, but seeing through the eyes of flesh, they question the Lord Jesus Christ, do you really care that we perish? And as soon as he did, knowing their fears, knowing their faults, knowing that he loved them, Jesus arises. I think that's very interesting, that although they did not have the proper perspective, Jesus still arose and helped the disciples. So many times I failed in my own Christian life to see the Lord in every situation. And yet, when I come to God in desperation, maybe even having the wrong perspective, I cry unto the Lord, and he arises. Notice what he says. And rebuke the wind. Now, this is one of the only times in the Bible he rebukes the wind. There's another time in the book of Acts, at the end of the book of Acts, where there was a storm called Euroclydon. And that wind was also sent by Satan, many would say, many Bible teachers would say. I believe that Jesus is rebuking this wind. Now why, if Jesus blessed this wind here, now he allowed it, we know he allowed it, but why would he rebuke something he blessed? Did you know there are many things that God allows in our life that Satan brings into our life? You think about Job. You think about people who went through many things in their life, and yet God allowed those things. Yes, Satan was doing it, and yet God for a time allowed it. We don't understand all those things, and you can try to understand all those things, but it will blow your mind, and you will start living through the eyes of flesh instead of the eyes of faith. But God says here, he arose and rebuked the wind. You see, for a time he allowed it when his disciples came to him. You see, the point is they came to him. And he rebuked the wind. And look at what he says. And said to the sea in verse 39, peace be still. Is that what you need? I know that's what you need. Is that what I need? That's exactly what I need. Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know what we need in our world today? We need Jesus to say, peace be still, in every Christian's life. We shouldn't spend more time reading the news than we do looking at God's Word and saying the storms are beating in on the ship. The water is filling it up. We don't know where to turn. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And then Jesus arises. And what we need is for Jesus to rise and help his local New Testament church and help Christians throughout the world to have the eyes of faith to look to Jesus, that even in the midst of the storm, Jesus can rebuke it all. And it says here, and he said unto them in verse 40, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He didn't say some faith. He said no faith. Now they had faith to follow him when he called them to be his disciples, but he's speaking of this situation, the storm. They went through the storm, and they come out on the other side, and he says, how is it that ye have no faith? The storm is calm. And now when the storm is calm, Jesus begins to bring conviction into their lives. And so many times it's been that way in my Christian life that I know I was going through a storm. I didn't know if it was sent by Satan or God allowed it or God sent it. I couldn't figure it out, and so I cried to the Lord, maybe having the wrong perspective, but I knew I needed to go to God, and when I did, God helped me, and God guided me, and God made a calm to happen, and about that time, the Holy Spirit began to convict me and show me. How much faith do I really have? And then the Bible says in verse 41, if you'll notice that, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. And I say, he's not just a man. He's more than a man. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But if you want to understand the context, now I'm not doing this justice to Scripture. Notice verse 1 of chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a continuation. If you'll notice that very first word, it says, and. When you start a sentence with and, it's continuing the thought from verse 41. So let's continue reading. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. You see, there was a purpose. God sent them through a storm. God allowed the storm. The storm was most likely sent by Satan. Jesus rebuked the storm. There was a great calm. Then he convicted them about their having no faith. And then they said, what manner of man is this? And then verse 1 says, they come to the other side of the sea. I want to give you three things really quickly that help us understand this story. The first thing is this, the simplicity of God's Word. Simplicity of God's Word. Notice what he says again in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. You see, God has a will for your Christian life. And that's for you to pass over unto the other side. God also has a will for this world who does not know Christ as their Savior. And if you're watching and you're not truly saved, maybe you're trusting in good works, maybe you're trusting in the church or a pastor or something else besides the Lord Jesus Christ, God's will for you is to pass over unto the other side. I'm not talking about a ship, a physical ship in the sea passing to the other side. I'm talking about your life is like this ship. And God says His will for you is to pass over unto the other side. You see, your life is only in time, but one day we'll be in eternity. And you'll go to one of two places. You'll either go to heaven or hell. And God is not willing, as we saw in Sunday school, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. He tasted death for every man, and He wants you to trust in Him so that you can go to the other side to be with Jesus forever and ever. And His promises are true. John 10 verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus said, if you trust me, if you turn from your sins and you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you're in my hands. And my hands are in the Father's hands. And that means you're not getting out of God's hands if you know Him. And you know what will happen? The last time you take your last breath here on earth, it's going to take place just as Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. But we see the simplicity of God's Word not only for the unsaved, but for the Christian. And we see that God has a will for us. Yes, we may go through storms. We may go through times we don't understand it. We may go through the temptation and the distraction and the discouragement of this world and Satan himself. But God says, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. We're going to get to the other side of that storm. And if we die, we'll be the other side. We'll be in heaven with Jesus forever and ever. And we'll be worshiping the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. It's a simple command. Now, here's the question you're going to have to ask yourself. Do I believe the simple Word of God? You see, I find out so many times in my life, it's not that I don't understand the Bible. It's that I don't apply the Bible and I don't obey the Bible. God says here, it's very simple. We're going to pass over onto the other side. If you're lost, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? God can take you. He can take you through every storm, and He will take you to heaven. And if you're a Christian, He'll guide you in this life and he'll take you to the other side, and he'll help you see in perspective the other side. Here's the second thing. Not only do we see the simplicity of God's word, we see the storm that followed. You see, there's always a test. Maybe you've heard years ago, there was a broadcasting network announcement, and it would always say on the radio, "This is only a test." They would do a sound check and say, "This is only a test." But I want you to know this life is a test. It's a test of our faith. And notice what the Bible says, the simplicity of God's word. There is a storm that followed. Jesus said, "Now, here's what I want you to do, disciples. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side." They didn't know why. They just did what he said. And then there was a storm. Now, if you knew ahead of time that you were going to go through a storm that you were going to go through, would you still get in the boat? Would you still get into the boat? You see, I got in the boat when I was 5 years old. My father gave me the gospel, and I trusted him. At 5 years old, I didn't know I'd be standing here today. I certainly didn't know the last 3 months would happen in our lives around the world, and that everybody would be talking about one thing, and that we would be reduced to having online church in many ways. I didn't know any of that at 5 years old. All I knew was I was a sinner. And all I knew was Jesus was a great Savior. And all I knew is I needed to trust Him. And I simply got in the boat. Now that boat has went through a lot this year. But I want you to know something. There's always a storm that follows. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy to chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. In verse 11, Paul is speaking here. He says, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me." What a great promise. And then he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I find that very interesting. He says all, not some, all. And then he says that will. It doesn't say all that live godly. It says that all that will live godly. Do you want to live godly? Yes, we're full of faults every day, but it is by God's grace. He says here, "Yea, and all that will live godly." Do you want to live godly? Do you desire to live godly? Do you want to follow His commands? You're going to suffer persecution. Your boat's going through some storms. The Bible says there was a storm that followed, but I'm glad the story doesn't end there. There was the ship that landed. You see, God's promises are always true. There's a simplicity of God's word. There's a storm that always follows. But the ship always lands where God wants it to land. Notice chapter 5 and verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea." So many times I've got in the boat with Jesus. God guided me alone. The storms came. He rebuked the storms. I get to the other side. I'm thankful it's over. I look back in time. And what I was going through at the time, I complained. And I was negative, and I was discouraged, but God brought me through anyway. And when I look back, I say, "Why did I complain? Why did I get discouraged?" And now I have a different perspective. You see, I see the other side of it, like Jesus wanted me to see. But here's what the other side is. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 5, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." You see, God had them in a boat, guided them through the storms to land on the other side. And as soon as they get out, you would think life would calm down. But they met a demon-possessed man. God saved that demon-possessed man, and he tells him in Mark chapter 5, he wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus said in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee." And here's what he says in verse 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." This area of Decapolis was a 10-region area. This history of this area were the seven warring nations against God. And now notice chapter 7. Of Mark. In verse 31. "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, speaking of Jesus, he came under the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. There it is. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, which had an impediment in his speech, and beseech him to put his hand upon him. Did you know when Jesus in Mark chapter 5 goes and heals that demon-possessed man, the people say, why don't you just depart out of our coast? Why don't you just get out of our town? And Jesus left, and he left one man in that area, and he says, begin to publish. Tell them how great things Jesus had done for you. And when Jesus comes back a chapter and a half later, we find out it comes to the exact same area. And they're not saying, get out of our town now. God uses one individual to influence a whole area. And they bring the person to Jesus that was deaf. They didn't say, get out of our town. They came to Jesus. They welcomed Jesus to heal those that needed to be healed. I want you to know that what you're going through now may seem overwhelming, and the storms may be beating in your ship, and the water may be filling it up, but don't lose faith. You're going to the other side. And when you get to the other side, you're going to run into some people who are lost, who are controlled by Satan, and you're going to have an opportunity to witness to them and see what great things Jesus Christ can do with them, and God can use them to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to our text in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.